You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about infidelity and the prayer for boredom. We've all been there before. Maybe not necessarily infidelity in a marriage, but we've all gone a little crazy looking for some excitement because we're so bored with our current situation. I mean, life is really interesting because a lot of times we get very bored with the things that we've done over and over and over again, and we look for excitement. And sometimes that excitement, when it comes to infidelity, comes in the form of another person. We find them. They become very exciting. They're very new. It's very interesting. It's the spark that we've been missing in our life. Oh my gosh. And we find it and we feel alive again. And we feel very interested and we feel like, you know what? We got something. We got something going on. The best years of our lives are not behind us. The best years are here to come. They're right here, right now. But we don't really think about the consequences. We don't think about what really quick changes can make to our life. We don't really know. So tonight we're talking about infidelity. And we're talking about what the prayer for boredom is. Why we pray for boredom. The pitfalls and the dangers that we can find ourselves in when we get bored with our current life situation. And then later on, we'll be talking about how you can change that boredom and make it work for you. Boredom doesn't have to be the enemy. It could actually be the catalyst to a new frontier. Let's begin tonight's discussion about what really is their prayer for boredom. And why would we choose to do this prayer? And I came up with this a few days ago. I was thinking about this show and I was thinking about life in general. And boredom is always one of those interesting places to be. And I started thinking back in my life when I've been bored. And the times that when I've been bored, when I didn't make really the right decision. Because I wanted to do anything and be anything besides being boring. And I think a lot of you can feel the way I feel right now because you've been there before. You resonate with being bored and doing something crazy. And you know, it doesn't just have to be about infidelity tonight. I think it actually is a big one. It's one that happens a lot because people get bored. They get in this rut. At first, Dancing with the Stars reruns is fun, but eventually it's not so much fun anymore. And eventually you wonder if the best years of your life is passing you by. And as you sit there watching another Dances with Stars couple, and you realize that they're taking forever to tell you who is no longer going to be dancing and who's voted off, you go, man, this is my life. This is the countdown of my life. But I know other people have been in my situation where it wasn't about the infidelity so much as it was about being bored. And you went out and you did something crazy. And I remember a while back when I went out and did something crazy. And I had some friends that have done the same. And I had a buddy of mine call me up the other day and we were talking about this show. And I said, hey, I got this idea. What do you think? And he's like, oh, yeah. I've been bored before. And I go, when was the last time you were bored? What did you end up doing? And did it cost anything? And he goes, you know what, Ashley? I'm going to lay it down for you. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. And I said, yeah, let me hear it. He goes, so there I am, hanging out. I've been taking care of the family, doing everything I need to do, you know, working 14-hour days, tucking the kids in, doing this, doing that, going to the piano recitals, doing all this stuff. And eventually, I just kind of lost it. Like, all my friends were out, and I have a lot of single friends, and I just wanted to go have some fun. And I didn't really care. And he said, and I just kind of lost it. He said, the next thing you know, I'm out at a bar, having some drinks, hanging out with some friends. We end up going to another bar. We end up going to another bar. We end up going to another bar. And I didn't really think about it. And I got in my car, and I drove home, and I got pulled over by the police about 10 minutes from my house. And when I got out to do the field sobriety test, yeah, It kind of all came full circle because I realized I was quite intoxicated. And as they were putting me in the squad car about 40 minutes later, and I was heading to jail, I was thinking about, wow, if I could just be back on that couch after tucking my kids in with my wife, watching some repeat on the DVR that we had recorded. He goes, man, I feel you on the prayer for boredom. Because we've all been there before. Let's not lie to ourselves. We've all done something crazy. Some people might say asinine. We've all done something crazy. And we've all regretted it. We've all sat there and thought about, I can't believe I did this because I was bored. And now I wish to God that I could be back where I was bored with all this washed away and it never happened. It was just a bad dream. And there I am being bored. This would be great. Wish I could go back to it, but we can't. And so that's what the prayer of boredom is, because I think a lot of times we make these jumpy decisions. We jump into a situation without thinking, without checking to see if there's even water in the pool, we jump in. And then later on, we wish we had checked. In the case of marriage, you know, we have boredom. We look for excitement. We might find some excitement. We might get too much excitement. We might get a little scared about where life is heading. And ultimately, we pray for that boredom. I think we've all been bored, right? We've all wished for more in our lives. And I think we've all wondered if we're missing out on the best years of our life. And you know, one thing is, if you've listened to any of my shows, you know that I hate using that phrase, best years of my life, because I don't think the best years of my life have happened. And if we start sitting there saying, oh yeah, this is the best years of our life, then all the other years aren't that good, right? So the best is behind us, and what do we have to live for? You know what I mean? Assisted living? I don't want that. I don't want to sit there and think about the best years of my lives are gone. I want to think about the fact that I still have more to live. No matter what your age is, we all have things to accomplish. I don't care if you're 85. I don't care if you're 90 or 95. We all have something that we should accomplish. We all have purpose in our life. And when we sit there and say the best years of our life behind us, we degrade and downplay the life we have right now. It's like, why are we here? And I think a lot of times that when we get bored, we worry about those things, because we really do worry if the best years of our lives are behind us. And it's scary, and it can feel scary, because, you know, we have this one life to live. I mean, they have a daytime soap opera called One Life to Live. You got one life, you know? And we wonder, are we living it to the fullest extent? Are we doing everything that we need to do? Are we making the most out of the time that we have? And I think we have to kind of ponder that in many different realms. I don't think you can just look at one specific situation and say, am I living the best years of my life? Am I living life to the fullest? I think there's always going to be ebbs and flows, and there's always going to be things that get on your nerves, but also you're always going to be in times where it's not so interesting. I don't think that life can be always interesting. I don't think it can always be fuego. I don't think it can always be hot like fire. I think that sometimes it might be kind of lukewarm. Okay? You know, they don't even tell you not to touch the plate. It's not really a hot plate. It's kind of more like lukewarm. But I think we've all been there before. And I think we can all feel and understand how it feels, though, to worry. I mean, because I think men, when you're younger, I mean, you can kind of be crazy more hellions. But yet, you know, if you've been married for a long time, you know, you're not dead. You catch yourself at least looking around here and there. I mean, for women, I think the same. You might be married for 15, 20 years, but you're not dead yet. I mean, you still got some good years left in you. You know, you're at work and, you know, there's a new associate that shows up pretty good looking. You know, you sit there and wonder, huh, well, I'm married, got the 3 kids and all. Life's kind of all set up for me. And I think the boredom comes about because we all have these routines. I don't like to call routines ruts, but they're in the same family. I mean, if a routine could have like a pup, it would be a rut. And I think there's something to be said about that because, you know, routines in themselves, they create what? They create stability. They create, you know, a foundation. But more so, they create boredom. Because you're doing the same thing day after day, week after week, year after year, and you're expecting for what? Excitement? No. Routines normally don't come with, you know, a saxophone and a steel drum. Routines kind of come with elevator music and a chicken pot pie. I mean, honestly, think about it. And I think when we get in these routines, because our life is destined for routines, if it's going to have any sort of normalcy. I mean, if you're married and you're living with somebody else, you kind of have to deal with the fact that you just can't do everything you want to do all the time, anytime you say. There's some things that you have to give and take with somebody else. That's why you enter the sanctity of this thing called marriage. And so sometimes when we're in marriage, we can't go out every night because our husband or our wife is like, "You coming home?" And so we start falling into this routine, eating dinner, hanging out, doing the same thing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then sometimes that starts going into the weekend too. And that boredom gets bigger and bigger and badder. And we try to figure out what to do about it. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to be talking more about infidelity and the prayer for boredom, as well as the pitfalls and dangers that we can find ourselves in when we act out and try to figure out how to rectify this boredom. As well, later on, we'll be talking about how we can actually take this boredom and elevate it and make it work for us. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about infidelity and the prayer for boredom. You know, what is the prayer for boredom? Why do we sometimes want to go back and say the prayer for boredom as well? Or what are the pitfalls and the dangers that we find ourselves in when we try to get rid of boredom in our life? And better yet, later on, we're going to be talking about how you can transform boredom into something that works for you. So going back to the concept of the prayer for boredom, how does this come about? Why do we even think about doing this? I mean, where does this come from? And I think that honestly, life is about a set of routines and looking for excitement. And I think that this combination is an interesting combination. And because we like excitement and we want to live life to the fullest, we hate on our routines. But because of the way our lifestyle is, and because of the way that we live, we have to create certain routines in order to get to work, to take care of our family, to take care of ourselves, the kids, to make money, to live, to be in society, George. Remember that from Seinfeld? Yes, society, George. We got to live in society. And because we have to live in this society, we can't just go hog wild and go crazy every other day, doing whatever we want, whenever we want, whenever the feeling comes about. And so I think because of this routine, and because this routine has a tendency of creating this boredom, it also creates worry in our mind. We wonder if we're living life to the fullest. In our relationship or in our marriage, are we having the best sex we can possibly have? Will we be satisfied with the present situation that we find ourselves in? You know, some of us find ourselves 2 years to 15 years in a relationship in our marriage, wondering if we're going to get back that initial excitement. Will we get back the initial excitement we had in the beginning of our relationship? You know, we worry about the direction that our relationship will turn and worry that we'll never get that spark again. You know, long-term relationships can take a relaxed turn. You know, we find ourselves on the couch with our significant other, watching reruns of Dancing with the Stars or CSI or whatever you tape on your DVR. And at first, I think this activity can be enjoyable. But as the years go by, you know, we feel as though the best years of our life are passing us by. I mean, maybe we won't ever get them back. And it begins to make us think and hope and pray for a spark in our life. And I think, too, the longer we've been married and the longer the routine has continued, we begin to start realizing that maybe the spark might never return to our marriage. Maybe that excitement that we had in the beginning of the relationship is never returning. And so for some of us, we begin to look elsewhere to find the spark. And when we look elsewhere, it's not like we're looking within ourselves. It's not like we're going to the fireworks store to get some sparklers like we did when we were kids and some M80s and blow up some poor person's mailbox in the countryside. No. We're not doing that. We're not buying sparklers. We're looking for that spark in another person. And that person could come in the form of a friend, maybe a coworker, a new coworker, maybe just a random person that you meet randomly. And all of a sudden you meet this person, you gravitate to them because they're so extremely interesting, obviously, because they're new and exciting. You know, think about it. It's almost like when you buy like the cereal and it says like new and improved, you know, on the side. It's like, really? What did you do? Did you put like a new lacquer or varnish on it? No, think about it. They're new and exciting. And so you now get the spark. The spark has returned back to your life and you're now on cloud nine and you feel exhilarated and alive. At this exact point, you found the spark. You found the spark that you've been looking for in another person. And guess what happens? You begin to live a double life. You know, I think it's interesting when I have clients that come into my office and they have found a spark in their life. They're on cloud nine in another person, whether it be a friend, somebody they knew from yoga, an acquaintance, somebody at work, somebody they kind of ran into when they were really at the height of being bored. And they feel exhilarated. They talk about how taboo it is. How tantalizing, I don't know. But how taboo it is and how extremely amazing they feel. They feel alive. However, as this continues and this double life continues to be lived, it becomes stressful and overwhelming. Because again, you have to realize that over a period of time, no matter how new something is in the beginning, there becomes somewhat of a routine. That's just the way the system is designed. It's how it works. It's how it's designed. And that's why I think it's interesting when people throw away certain facets of their life and think that they can find something within somebody else that's new, that's going to be new forever. No, it's not going to be new forever. And maybe there should be some people out there that live their life like a lease program where they lease their most recent conquest and give it back to the dealership. I don't know what the dealership would be. Maybe they pay in and then, I mean, it's the same thing as divorce, really. You pay in for a few years of life and you go, okay, let's go our separate ways. For 3 years, I can handle you. After 3 years, I want the new car smell. No pun intended. After 3 years, I'm out of here. But, you know, we don't have marriage or relationships really like that. And so it's interesting how even the most tantalizing and taboo situations can become routine. However, they can also become very difficult because living a double life means that it becomes very stressful. It becomes very overwhelming because the person who has gone outside of the marriage or relationship to find the spark not only is dealing with the spark, but is dealing with the marriage. And they begin to ultimately realize they're losing themselves. Do you see what I'm saying? Because there's only so much time that you can give the spark, and there's only so much time that you can give the current relationship. Where is you time in the middle? Because think about it, even in your mind, when people are dealing with this, even in their own mind, they don't have time to think about themselves. Because when they're with the spark, they're thinking about their significant other. And when they're with their significant other, in parentheses, spouse, right, they're thinking about the spark. I mean, there's not even any time in the mind to think about self. And this process normally lasts as long as they're willing to live it. It's not that easy. It might sound very interesting in the beginning, but it's work. It's like a second job. Occasionally, the person that goes outside of the relationship and finds the spark is able to put an end to the relationship, no harm, no foul. But about two-thirds of the time, that's just not the way it goes down. One-third of the time, the spark can put an end to it. Or might want more. Or an outside situation can actually put a monkey wrench in the decision. And it's no longer up to the spark and no longer out to the person that went outside of the relationship. When something like this happens and things get out of control, that's when the prayer for boredom strikes. That's when the wishing for boredom comes back. Just so they can be bored again, watching Dancing with the Stars with their significant other and not have to worry about that. So when we return, we'll be talking more about that monkey wrench. What can be the things that can put other people in a tailspin to pray for boredom? Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about infidelity and the prayer for boredom. You know, at what point in time do people pray for boredom? Because a lot of us are so tired of our routine, we're so bored of our life. Why would we ever pray for boredom? That makes no sense, Ashley. Why would I ever do that? Well, the only time that you'll pray for boredom is when you do something crazy and you wish you would have thought it through. And you know, I've been there before where I've wanted to try to make my life more interesting. You know, and I have friends too that when they call you from jail, the first thing they say is, I don't know what I was thinking. I wish I wouldn't have gotten pulled over. I wish I wouldn't have gone out. If I would have just stayed home, none of this would have happened. I've had other friends that said, you know what? I started having roving eyes and I saw something I liked and my life was kind of boring. I've been married for 20 years and she's young and vivacious and everything was great until she got pregnant. And this was so unexpected. It was the monkey wrench. It was the thing that I didn't expect, the thing that I never thought would happen. Happened. You know, whether it's pregnancy, whether that's the spark gets pregnant, whether the spark is a man, what if it's a woman that goes outside of the marriage? What if he or she decides that they want more of the married person in their life and they're not willing anymore to half up time? I'm going to go call your wife. I'm going to call your husband. I'm going to let them know what you're doing. Another monkey wrench. That calls for the prayer for boredom. Because it's one thing if you end it on your terms, right? But it's different when things change. What about when we get caught? Getting caught doing anything that you shouldn't be doing is never a fun experience. It's never a fun experience. You're never over there like, yes, got caught. This is great. I mean, very few people want to get caught. And usually that's a subconscious want to get caught. Because it ends up being the best for everybody, but at the same time, it was a painful process. It's funny, it's like when people get caught doing what they shouldn't do. You know, they tell everybody that they want to go around all the world helping underprivileged children. You know, taking the elderly to the dialysis machines. Going to church daily to repent their sins. You know, it's a shock because you're scared, you're out on a limb. And you're desiring that comfort and feeling of being bored again, quite honestly. You know, you start daydreaming on the evenings that you're back on the couch watching the Dancing with the Stars. It's interesting, the things that we want back when crisis happens. And we pray that we can keep the relationship we have intact. And it's funny that the boredom that we once despised is like this far-off love. It's like a love that we dream of and we pray will return to us one day. It's funny how the new devil's playground is honestly boredom. Think about it. It's boredom. When we get bored and look for things or people to take our mind off of it, it changes everything. We have certain repercussions. And I think that's always an interesting thing, because we do look outside of ourselves to flavor up our life. And this is a pitfall. These are the dangers of what being bored can do. I mean, when we're bored, you can go out and do crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. I have some clients that have come in here and done some crazy stuff. Drugs, alcohol, affairs, you name it. People do it because they want to feel alive again. They want to do something out of their norm. They want to get out of their comfort zone, and they just want to make a change. They just want to break away from the chains of their life and have some new and improved awesomeness. And sometimes people get away with it. I'm not saying that every time you do this, you're not going to get away with it. Okay? Now, you have to deal with your conscience, and you got to deal with your... If you feel guilty a lot, you might want to be careful about doing stuff like this, because guilt can really eat at somebody. But I'm not saying that every time you go look outside of the marriage, or every time that you try to fill your boredom, something bad's going to happen. But I'm saying it's a good idea to think about things. It's a good idea to put things in perspective and realize exactly where you stand. You know, there's a whole thing called cost-benefit analysis. What is this going to cost you? How is it going to benefit you? You know, one of the things I like to tell my clients, and it's something that I live by, is if you are looking for a spark, right, you need to think about it. And you need to realize that if you're looking for a spark in somebody else, that that person needs to have more to lose than you do. And that's something that I find is interesting, because I have a lot of clients that come in and talk about extramarital affairs, i.e. spark. And they tell me the person that they're having an affair with, I'm like, what in the heck are you doing? You found a 22-year-old girl that's got no job, that lives with their parents. You're 44, you're married with two kids, you have a very, very good job. And you don't think this is going to end bad? This is going to be awful. I mean, you hope you're not on the front page of the newspaper. My gosh, or on the news. Like, he couldn't have picked a worse scenario, bar none. I mean, so a lot of people don't think at all. They don't think at all. You know, and it's like you have to sit there and think, what makes sense? But better yet, what am I doing? What am I trying to fill? What is the void I'm trying to fill? And you know, the devil's new playground is boredom. And when we get bored, we usually make some not so good choices. We do. And we look towards other people to inspire us. We look toward other people to be the spark that we're missing in our life. And we begin to forget altogether that there might be repercussions from finding the spark in someone else. And we dive right in. We don't think about outcomes. Instead, we're just purely living in the moment. And I think it's interesting, however, that when we do live in the moment without regard to the outcomes, we've got to realize there's a possibility of unhappiness, or even that a life-changing outcome can appear. You know, life can change on a dime, they say. And we have to be prepared with the knowledge that we don't know every outcome. And we must be prepared and ready for the fact that nothing honestly lasts forever. There's a whole religion called the Buddhist religion that kind of talks about this over and over and over again. That nothing lasts forever. That you have to realize that everything is fleeting. That there's a time and a season for everything. And with that knowledge, we have to realize that nothing does last forever. How bored are you really? How bored are you really? You know, because I think boredom is really just a state of mind. And I think it's a state of mind that all of us find ourselves at one point or another. And we have to begin to understand why we're honestly bored and what we can positively do about it. What can we actually do about the boredom? How do we deal with the boredom? And how we understand the boredom is the insight into our own life. It helps us with the quality of our life, how we deal with the boredom. because how we deal with boredom in our life is paramount. Because boredom is an interesting scenario. You have to remember that boredom is a culmination of security, of a security comfort zone, of a routine, of a rut, of established relationships, of responsibilities. It's kind of a part of life. But also there's more to boredom. There's more to boredom. There's more to boredom because there's more to boredom. There's more to understand what boredom really is. Boredom is a state of mind. It's a state of mind. It's a place that we find ourselves as humans in different perspectives, in different ways, and in different relationships. And there's definite ways, there's definite successful ways to deal with boredom that doesn't lead to massive fallout. When we return, Perspectives is going to be talking about the ways that you can deal with boredom in your life that will allow for success, and you can transmute those into finding success in your life and also bettering your life and not falling into the trap of massive fallout. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and
sound. Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about infidelity and the prayer for boredom. You know, there are ways to deal with boredom. There are ways to deal with boredom that don't lead to massive fallout, to mass hysteria, for the prayer for boredom to come back. Oh God, I'll feed the children all over the world. I'll take the invalids to the dialysis machine. I'll go to church every day. I'll speak of your word all over the mountaintops. If you'll just let me be able to go back and sit on the couch with my spouse and watch Dancing with the Stars again. There are ways to deal with boredom. There are ways to deal with it. You know, it's interesting. You have to ask yourself a question first. Are you doing the same thing day after day and expecting different results? Are you? Because if we're doing the same thing day after day, we've got to understand the fact, and you got to understand the fact, that boredom may be a byproduct of the daily human ritual. Think about it. And I think once we're able to spot why exactly we're bored with our life, I think we can begin to pinpoint then what needs to be augmented. You know, it's human. It's a human condition to want to make massive changes, make massive life changes. It is. We want to just make broad strokes with our life. And it's human to make massive changes. However, really, if you think about it, in order to have any sort of stability, we've got to begin with slight changes that are timely and also well-positioned. You know, these changes that I speak of can come in the form of household activities, maybe things that you and your spouse or significant other can do, and new experiences that you too can experiment and experience and have those experiences today and together. You know, you have to remember that if you're bored, you got to remember that probably your spouse is bored too. You know, they may be looking for some outside spark. Think about it. You might not be the only one. Maybe you too can find the spark together. I mean, because I think a lot of times we only think about ourselves in relationships. You know, we think about ourselves as that solo renegade pilot in the air in our World War II jetter fighter plane, living our life, maybe being that lone cowboy on the range with the dust bowls and the prairie. Think about it. Out there by your campfire by yourself. And it's funny how a lot of times we feel like the lone wolf, right? But we've been in a long-term relationship or marriage. We still think of ourselves as that wolf on our own, that we got to fend for ourselves. But you know what? If we're in a relationship, we got to realize that we're in it with someone else and that both of us have some sort of clear ownership. You know, and I think it's up to both people to spice things up. Okay, so think about it. If you've been in a marriage or relationship where you're the one that's always trying to spice things up, where you're the one that's always trying to change things or make things better, you got to sit there and analyze what's going on. If the other person's not doing anything to change things, y'all got to have a discussion. Okay, it's time to have a committee meeting because something's not working, because it takes two. It's up to both of you, both people in the relationship, to spice things up, to get out of the rut, to make life more memorable, to make life more fun. Think about it. I mean, the best way to make something long-term better and to spice it up is to spice it up together. Because I think when we go outside of the marriage for fun and for the spice, we really stop working on our marriage. We stop working on the marriage and we begin working on something completely and utterly different. Think about it. It's like being at work all day and then taking a 2-hour break in the middle of work to go work on a 25 or 100,000 piece puzzle. Let's just say that. Let's say to work on a 1,000,000 piece puzzle. Let's say that every day at work, you're at work, and in the middle of the day, you go and you begin to work on a 1,000,000 piece puzzle. And that's your side gig. You're not making any money off of it. It gets kind of tiring. You never know if you're ever going to get all the pieces out of the box, much less put the freaking puzzle together. Think about it. It's a lot of work. 1,000,000 piece puzzle. I mean, because humans have like 1,000,000 pieces to their puzzle. Seriously, I just made that up, but it's true. And you're over there trying to figure out someone else, trying to figure out the spark in your life. You're working on a totally different independent project away from the current relationship that you're in. Okay? Taking away from the relationship you're in and trying to figure out this 1,000,000 piece puzzle. And I understand that it begins as something new and exciting. I understand. I mean, like opening that puzzle box. Woo! The smell of the puzzle pieces. Mmm. Always like the smell of puzzle pieces and brand new textbooks. I mean, how many people are in it with me on that one? Brand new textbook smell? Love it. I mean, you could bottle it up. Women could wear that and men would just fall head over heels. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe that's just me. I don't know. But anyway, and I think the better way to a long-term relationship and marriage is to spice it up together, right? But when we're out there doing that 1,000,000-piece puzzle on the side, you know, in an apartment that we've rented on our own to create the 1,000,000-piece puzzle that nobody knows about, that's another job. That's another process. And it's fun, but I think it's ultimately counterintuitive to bettering our life as a whole. I think it's fun, but again, it's counterintuitive to really bettering our life. And I know you ask me, go, why? I ask you, why is this counterintuitive? I mean, I'm having fun. I feel like it's the best years of my life. I'm having a tantalizing relationship. It's very edgy. It's very cool. But I think it actually has to do with us. I think each one of us, I think we actually do ourselves a disservice in life. We do ourselves a disservice in life when we look outside of ourselves for the spark. Think about it. When we look to another person to spark up our life, we're giving the power of the spark and we're giving the power to someone else. And we take ourselves out of the active equation, which is living. We take ourselves out of the active equation. And I think by doing this, we're telling ourselves subconsciously, directly, and indirectly by our actions that we are not capable of bettering our life. That instead, we need someone else to better our life for us. Because we're not good enough to do it on our own. We can't figure it out. We can't figure out how to get our head out of a paper bag. Right? And we take ourselves out of this equation and we look at someone else to give us a spark, we give someone else our power, if you think about it. Think about it. So we're actually handing over our personal power to the spark. And you know why I know that's true? You know why I know that when you go outside, looking outside of the marriage and you're trying to find that spark and you give someone else that spark, and you know why it's giving your power away? Think about how many times you've thought about that spark during your day and during your night when you don't hear from them. What about when you text message, they don't respond, or you call them and it goes right to voicemail? and it's 1 a.m. in the morning. What is your spark doing, huh? And now you've given your personal power to someone else in the form of your spark. And now they can use it and abuse it as much as they like, because you've given your power away. And you can't go and mope and tell anybody about it because you're cheating. You have a marriage, so you got to keep it all inside. So there you are, beating your head against the wall, wondering where your spark is, realizing that you've relinquished power in your life. You're not changing your marriage at all. You got this million-piece puzzle that you have in a private apartment that you're dealing with very little furniture, let me add. And you're trying to figure out how to put the puzzle pieces together because you've gone outside of yourself to find entertainment and excitement. What about us? Are we not good enough to find excitement in our own life? I mean, what happened to us? I think that we're good enough and capable enough to better our own life. And I think a lot of us overlook that. Because our whole life we've been told maybe we're not good enough, or maybe we need other people to define us. But I think if we understand ourselves best, we can define ourselves. And I think the bottom line here is that boredom is the ultimate indicator in our life that we have to step into that boredom. We got to step into the boredom and understand directly where it's coming from. Where is the boredom in my life coming from? And I think from within ourselves, from within you, from within, you come up with a solution. Because if you're bored, you're the only one with the solution. And I think that a solution outside of ourselves is only temporary at best. And that's what I'm really talking about tonight, is that I'm not going to sit there and judge anybody. This is a judge-free zone. Perspectives has always been judge-free. We don't judge anybody for what they do. But I'll tell you one thing. A solution outside of self is temporary at best. This spark that you found outside of your marriage isn't going to last forever. Where are you going to be then? How will you define yourself at that point? Where will the boredom be then? And will you be more lost than you were prior? And will you be more confused? I think confusion is something that we don't need. I think more answers, less questions. And I think if you look at that and you realize the solution to boredom is within you, and that you can cure your own boredom and you don't need another person to do it for you, you get your power back. And guess what? You learn more about yourself. Because boredom is an indicator that you need to change something in your life, that you need to augment something in your life, that you need to do something, that you need to do something in your life. Maybe you're not completely on purpose. Maybe you're not actually directed your purpose and your time to what you need to be doing. Maybe things aren't moving as fast as you'd like it to, and you need to figure out how to change that, how to augment that. Maybe you need to get more time with your marriage and start explaining what you want. You got to speak up. I read a quote the other day, if you want a second piece of pie, you got to ask for it, right? No pun intended on that. If you want a second piece of cake, whatever. But you got to ask for it. You can't just sit there and look at somebody with puppy dog eyes and expect them to understand what you're saying. Think about it. You got to think about that. You got to sit there and ask for what you want. People don't always mind read. Really, they almost never mind read, even if you've been married for them for 15 years. You got to know what you want, and you got to change up the routine. If you feel like you're in a rut, get out of it. Figure out how to get out of it, and you'll learn a lot more about yourself. When we run to somebody outside of our relationship because they're interesting and they're new and they're exciting, that can be very interesting in the beginning, but it causes problems. It causes more problems in your life and more questions, less answers. Like I was saying, all of a sudden now you're dividing your time up between a full-time job and a million-piece puzzle. And what good is the million-piece puzzle going to do for you? Are you going to drop the life you're in right now? What happens if you get caught with a million-piece puzzle? What do you do then? Do you pray for boredom? For everybody that has prayed for boredom, you know exactly what I'm talking about tonight. And anybody that hasn't, you get it now. Stay tuned. We've got a great show for you. And I hope that you're never having to pray for boredom. Instead, I hope that you identify what boredom is, go within, change it, and light the spark in your own life. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.